You're listening to Kent Sparks, senior pastor of Beach Cities Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach City's mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
Well, good morning, gang. It sure is great to be here today. I'm kind of excited about the message as we're continuing this study in being free, talking about being free from anger. How many guys remember last week's anger message? How many are still angry about it? I just went home and cried. All right, well, we got some more fun stuff today as we talk about it, and I want to remind you the best way that you can benefit from the message is by pulling out the notes that are in the bulletin or downloading the electronic PDF on an Apple or Android device and following along. And the reason that's so important is not only will you retain the information better and have things that you can review and go to when you have a time of need, but most importantly, from my concern, is that you be able to go to a small group and discuss it intelligently, because our small group ministry is based on discussing and applying the message from the sermon. And we do that because we don't want to be hearers only, but what? Doers of the Word of God. And so the small group gives us that aspect of actually integrating it into our life in a group of people who love us, care about us, and will help us along with encouragement to make application. And so I strongly encourage that you take the notes. We have quite a hefty message today, and so we're going to get started right away. It's based on Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. And this is what God's Word says. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's just with great joy that we come together as a church family every week to worship you, to lift our voices in praise, and to just express through music our love and devotion to you. We also enjoy palling around with our friends and talking to them and getting to meet new faces and new people and share the love of Christ with them. But Lord, most importantly, we've come together to meet with you because we love you and we want to experience you more in our life. And we know, Lord, that we meet you through your word most profoundly. And so we pray, God, that through your word today, your Holy Spirit would have free reign in this room and in each one of our hearts. And that he would speak to us about the individual issues in our lives that need encouragement as well as that need confrontation and adjustment. And that, Lord, our spirits would be open to you and would sense you moving through your word and respond in humble submission and gratitude that you love us enough to point out these areas in our life that we need to make adjustment. Father, I pray that your spirit would have that freedom in this congregation right now, and that together we might sense his presence and enjoy fellowship with you through that as we study your word together now. Speak to us about this issue of anger, how we can manage it best for your honor and for the benefit of those we love and that we know. Lord, we need you. We can't pull this thing called the Christian life off without you. We want your help today as we talk about this serious issue of anger. For I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, this whole series about being free is about the fact that Jesus Christ set us free from the guilt, the power, and the eternal consequences of our sin, so that our lives might display God's glory and so that we might live an abundant life. That's a life that is filled with the love, the joy, and the peace and the characteristics of God, so that as we walk out into the world, others might see us as shining advertisements for the goodness of God. And that as the fruit of God's life, that abundant fruit of God's life is lived out in their presence, they get a taste of the goodness of God that would draw them to Christ. And by doing that, we would help them find a relationship with God and have that eternal security of knowing that they are loved by God and have a home in heaven reserved for them because of this relationship they have through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the whole goal. That's what Jesus has come to do. Set us free from the guilt and the consequences of our sin, and then pour his life into us so that we might attract others into his kingdom and to enjoy fellowship with him, so we could help our friends find Christ and grow. But not only that, we're talking about the fact that sometimes that abundant life, that shining, gleaming life is not seen in us. And it's because there are certain emotions and behaviors that damage us. and therefore rob us of the abundant life that God wants us to have. And so that when people run into us, we are not that shining example of the goodness of God. And when they taste the fruit of a relationship with us, it isn't the fruit of God's Spirit, it's the fruit of a sour and bitter person. And that becomes something that poisons their taste for God and that pushes them away from a relationship with God and damages our ability to introduce them to the Savior. That while we may have a message of good news, our life presents a message that's sour and that's bad news. And so Jesus wants to set us free from that as well. He wants us to be able to blossom and have good fruit that leads others to the Lord. He wants to have us live a life of abundance so that out of the overflow we can bless others in His name and for His glory. And so today we continue to look at the second of those emotions or behaviors that damage our ability to shine brightly for God and to enjoy the abundant life He wants us to have. And it is the issue of anger. It's the issue of anger. And when we talk about anger, we need to define our terms. And so what is anger? Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure, hostility, or indignation as a result of real or imagined threat, insult, frustration, or injustice towards ourselves or others who are important to us. It's also a warning bell that tells you when something is wrong. Anger is just hard feelings towards someone else because of an offense. That's really what it is, all right? And we said there's three kinds of anger that is mentioned in the Bible. Three different types of anger, and each of the different types of anger has to be managed differently. That they're not the same and they're not to be treated the same. And I'm going to review the first one for you, which is seething anger, and then we'll be looking at the others, the rest of the message. And seething anger is a long-lasting, brewing anger. And it's a type of anger that is deep-seated in somebody. And you can see a person that has seething anger. You see it on their face. You can see it in their eyes. If you're sensitive, you can feel it in their presence. You know that this person is deeply angry about something. And it makes you kind of nervous when you're around them, or at least uncomfortable around them, because there's something deep inside that's brewing. And you know it, you feel it, you sense it. This is called the angry person. They are filled or driven and motivated by anger in everything they do in life. This is much more dangerous because it takes hold of a person. It controls and affects every area of their life. Seething anger is as addictive and destructive as any drug and must be dealt with seriously. It is one of the most damaging things that happens in a person's life, and frequently people die young if it's not resolved. It is self-destructive as well as very, very painful for people around you. Now, the cause of seething anger is bitterness over a perceived injustice. In other words, something has happened that has wounded us deeply, and we're offended by it, and we grow bitter. In other words, the wound is not properly dealt with, and so it starts to become toxic. And inside our heart then, in our emotional heart, there is a pocket of pus that continues to grow and make everything in us toxic. And it's so serious, it can't just be ignored, put aside, well, you know, I'll just bury it, not deal with it. No, that pus is infecting everything in the system and is slowly weakening us and destroying us on the inside. It's just sapping the spiritual life and the joy out of us. And so when bitterness takes root in our lives, it produces seething anger that ultimately chokes out spiritual growth. The solution to it is to resolve it. You have to face the issue that's there. You have to face the wound that is infected and toxic now. You've got to get that pus out. And God tells us how to do it, how Jesus sets us free. The first thing is you don't rest until you deal with the root cause. You do not rest until you deal with the root cause. You cannot put it off. You need to get on it immediately. And then second, you replace the six-step anger process that we talked about last week with God's three-part antidote, which is be kind. Do good to those that hurt you, that cause the wound. Secondly, be tender-hearted. Refuse to shut down emotionally on them and push them out of your life and hide and get them away from you. And then third, be forgiving. That means to turn them over to God and turn your right to demand justice and ask God to repay the wrongdoer according to His perfect wisdom and love. That's how we deal with it. Now, I want to talk for a second on number three, because I had a few people ask me questions about it this last week. There might have been a little bit of confusion, so I make it real clear. When we forgive somebody, we make the decision to let them off the hook. We no longer hold them accountable for the wound that they caused. In fact, we turn them over to God and let God hold them accountable going forward. We make that mental decision. Are we clear about that? Then we follow up that mental decision, even though our feelings don't feel like it. We made a mental decision. We made an act of our will. We're doing what's right in obedience to Christ. Okay, our feelings are way back here. We make that decision, and then we decide to be kind to them. And we do acts of kindness, and we offer ourselves in service and love to them. And we remain tender-hearted towards them. We don't shut them out emotionally, and where everything in us wants to just shut down and push them away, we instead engage them emotionally with love and affection. And as we do that, on the heels of the fact we made this decision, I am not going to hold you accountable for the wrongdoing you did. I'm letting God do that. Your feelings will eventually catch up to the decision you made. Then the whole thing will come together. Your feelings, your decision, and your behavior will all be in alignment, and now you're in a position to reconcile. The other party may not be in the position, but you are. And if the other party's in the right position, then the two can reconcile going forward. Does this make sense, guys? So that's how you get out of this seething, raging, building anger. You make that decision, you turn it over to God, and make God will hold them accountable, and then start acting in the right way, and your feelings will follow. All right? That's how we deal with the seething anger, the really destructive one. Today, we're looking at the second one, and that is uncontrolled anger, also known as outbursts of anger. People that are just going along, you and I were just going along through life, and all of a sudden, bah! We go bananas. Something happens. Not an angry person. There's no face that shows anger. There's no deep-seated issue going on there. You can't see it in anybody's eyes. This is, you know, the person's a jovial, happy person most of the time. But once in a while, man, if you kick them by the accident, you might get your leg torn off. They're just going to come at you, right? And Proverbs talks about this in 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. And the point is, the Bible calls this type of anger having a hot temper. This guy has a temper, and we mentioned, or gal, she has a temper. And it can stir up strife, but the slow to anger does what? Calms a dispute. See, hot-tempered people get it all feared up and start fires everywhere, but calm, slow to anger people just calm it down. Let's take a breath. Feeling good. Doing it right. Yep. So this is the type of anger that's characterized by sudden outbursts and usually incites conflict. Because why? People get hurt. They have a case of the fly parts. It's, wah! And everything's going bananas. And you go, what happened here? I didn't realize that just happened like that. And then they're back to normal, like everything's fine. Hey, guys, you want to go get an ice cream now? And everyone's going, I'm not sure I can get an ice cream right now. I'm not hungry. I'm going to throw up. You know, I'm sick to my stomach. That's what happens, right, when it gets really bad. What is the cause of uncontrolled anger? It's lack of self-control. There's no deep wound or anything. There's a lack of self-control. That's why Proverbs 16:32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. In other words, the person that has power over the emotion of anger has great self-control and great personal strength. And if you don't have power over your anger, it's because you're not self-controlled. What does this mean? Well, at the heart of the issue of uncontrolled anger is the inability to control our emotions, the inability to hold it together, the inability to rule our spirit. Instead, our emotions rule us. We are emotionally, what's that word? Immature in this area of our life. You want me to give it in terms you can understand? You're a big baby. People with uncontrolled anger are just big babies. Babies. You hear me? What does that mean? Uncontrolled anger is nothing more than a tantrum. It's the adult version of the kid in the aisle going like this. That whole routine. You've seen it in the grocery store, haven't you? Is that a little undignified right there? I'll do anything to get you guys to get it, all right? Because I love you. But the point is, it's just an adult version of that. That's all they're doing. They're just throwing a major tantrum because they're being a big baby and they get away with it. No one has called them out on it. So it's a way to get their way. I'm not going to control this. When I do this, people get nervous and they start to give me what I want. And that reinforces this immature behavior. And that's the whole cause of it. Just emotionally, they're a big baby and they need to grow up. And if you're here today and you're one of those that just fly off at the handle, you're a big baby. We've got you. Game's over. You've been, uncovered, all right? Now, what's the results of uncontrolled anger? The first is we do stupid things and act in stupid ways. We do stupid things and we act in stupid ways. Look at Proverbs 14:29. If you stay calm, you are wise. But if you have a hot temper, case of the fly parts, right? You only show what? How stupid you are. So I want you to say this with me. If I have uncontrolled anger, I am a stupid baby. All right, let's say that together. If I have uncontrolled anger, I am a stupid baby. There you go. And we're going to give you a big binky. I was thinking of getting a giant binky made with a necklace, and we just hang it on to people who are just being big babies, right? Wouldn't that be nice, walk around? I'm a big, stupid baby. We do stupid things, and we act in stupid ways when we fly off the handle. I remember when I was growing up, I was about 8 or 10 years of age, and my dad had a friend of his who had a case of this, the uncontrolled anger type guy. This is a beautiful picture. My dad, the seething anger, and his friend, the uncontrolled anger guy. And they're working on a boat. That already tells you we got problems, right? And I'm a little kid. We're all excited. Man, we're going to get this boat fixed. We're going to go to Catalina, and we're going to go chase the dolphins. This is going to be so great. You're always telling the stories with your brothers and everybody. You're really excited about it. And, we're working on the boat, and this guy with the uncontrolled anger is, cutting the wood, and they're putting it together. My dad looks at him and goes, "You're cutting it the wrong size. You're supposed to measure twice, cut once." He kind of yells at him. And the guy's down there, and he's getting frustrated, and he's cutting some more, and "You're still screwing it up," And then he cuts another one, and he messed it up again, and he got so mad, he grabbed the saw blade of the circular saw, zing, right through his hand. Yeah, we do stupid things. Would you say that's stupid? He had this, the next time I saw him, his whole arm's wound, his hand looks like a baseball bat and cotton swab, and it's just a mess. He eventually healed up and had most of the use of his hand. But you do stupid things when you have uncontrolled anger. Stupid things that make no sense to anybody because you have a case of the fly parts like that. All right? So the result is stupid things and act in stupid ways. The second thing that happens is we treat others in what? Let's say it together. Cruel ways. We treat others in cruel ways that are destructive to our close friends and family. Proverbs 24:7, anger is cruel and destructive. He's talking about that hot-tempered stuff. It's cruel and destructive. What does that mean? Well, Webster defines cruel as disposed to inflict pain or suffering devoid of humane feelings. What does that mean practically? People who have uncontrolled anger are basically acting in profoundly selfish ways, and at the moment of outburst, don't care about anyone else or the pain they cause. That's a hard reality to face, isn't it? But that's the truth. At the moment of outburst, they don't care about anyone else or the pain they cause. That's what cruel means. And the Bible says when we have uncontrolled anger and we fly off at the handle, we are being cruel to people. And this is why angry outbursts are so destructive to friendships and family. You don't want to be around a person that if they lose it, their love and concern for you goes out the window and all they care about is the selfish expression of their rage. And then everyone pays the price for it. And it's very, very traumatic and traumatizing. And so outbursts of anger are cruel because people who act this way are hardwired to inflict pain and suffering in others. And we know it. We know if we tick them off, there's going to be a heavy price to pay. We know they're hardwired that way. That is just how they function in relationship. and it makes us a little bit terrified to be close. If you spend time with these people, you know you will be damaged by their selfishness. You know you will be. And so what happens? You want to spend a little less time with them. Because you just know there's going to be something. I'm going to do something. Not on purpose, maybe. I'm going to do something. And then there's going to be a price to pay. And it's more than I'm willing to do. It's very cruel. And if you have this kind of rage, you have to deal with it by coming to grips with the truth. You're being cruel. You're not showing human feelings. You're being really, really profoundly selfish, and that needs to impact your heart and produce a sense of repentance and a desire to get that changed with God's help. Super, super important. And I want to say one other thing, and this is going to be probably the most serious thing I say in the message today. If you live in a home where that cruel rage turns into physical violence, you need to leave and move out. Because this is how people get killed. Physical abuse happens in this way. They lose their temper, and then they get physically violent, and they do something they wouldn't normally ever do, and they don't know why they did it later, but the damage is too late. You are in a very dangerous situation. It's time to move out and get help. Am I clear about that? It's super important. Number three, we create unnecessary conflicts that cause discord and division in our families and work environments. He says the angry man stirs up what? Dissension. He stirs up dissension. He creates problems wherever he goes. People who have uncontrolled outbursts of anger are incredibly damaging to work and family environments. Again, for what I said, you can never predict when it's going to happen. So everybody walks around on eggshells trying not to get the person to go off. And you can't live that way. You can't work in an environment like that. These people are extremely toxic to healthy organizations because they destroy workplace morale by making it emotionally unsafe, which breeds secrecy, lack of trust, suspicion, emotional trauma, and an inability to enjoy peaceful work environments. Everyone in this situation works under a dark cloud of unspoken stress, and these people generally need to be removed from the workplace before the best members of the team quit, leave, say, I can't do it. If I was on a team where you had someone who could just go off at any time, I would quit. Why? Because I spend one-third of my life there, 8 hours out of 24 every day. I do not want to be subjected to this dark cloud of walking on eggshells, worried about when I'm going to get whacked. I would rather pick up bottles at the beach and turn them in for money and live on that than go to a workplace where 8 hours a day I'm under this harsh cloud of stress and anxiety, because I don't know when this guy's going to go off and there's really nothing I can do about it, and I'm going to be traumatized again. It's really painful. It's super dangerous. Number four, we become more vulnerable to sin and evil when we have this habit. Remember, it's just being a big baby. It's not learning to control your emotions. It's just letting them fly because you just want to express your frustration. Proverbs 29:22 says a hot-tempered one or person commits how many? Many sins. Lots of them. Many, many sins. Why? When our anger is out of control, it consumes us at the moment, at that very moment, and focuses all of our energy on this narrow issue that is on our mind, which distracts and blinds us to everything else. That's why we end up hurting other people. We're not sensitive to them even being there, because in our rage, it blinds us to this issue only and nothing else. We get fixated on that. And at that moment, we're vulnerable to all kinds of selfishness and sin, because we then begin to act out in ways that take no consideration for other people or for what God thinks. And we end up saying and doing things that are inconsistent with our normal personality, and that's why we frequently say things like this later: I don't know what got into me. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I acted like that. To themselves, this angry person is confused on why it happened. The answer is because of uncontrolled rage blinds us to everything around us and makes us very susceptible to great sin. We have to get it under control. Number five, we humiliate ourselves. We end up humiliating ourselves when we get in this situation. Proverbs 25:8 says, Don't be hot-headed and rush into court. You may start something you can't finish and go down before your neighbor in what? Shameful defeat. In other words, you're going to be humiliated in the end. When we're under the influence of an angry outburst, we feel justified in our mind because of the consuming self-righteousness we have at that moment. I was wronged, since anger is rooted in perceived injustice. You did something wrong. I have the moral high ground. Now I can exercise my anger in any way I like. And what happens is everyone else knows we're just out of control and acting like a crazy person. They don't buy it that you're justified in that behavior. They see through it. And you end up being humiliated in the situation. You end up doing something really dumb. Now, I remember when I was a little kid, I was cooking breakfast for my brothers and sisters in our kitchen. And the way that our kitchen was put together was this kind of long kitchen. And on one side, you had the dining room and the family room. The living room went that way. The other end of the kitchen, they had this door that would go out to the backyard. And the top half of the door is really cool. It was a window so that you could see the backyard while you're cooking, that kind of thing. And so I'm making breakfast for everybody. And my older brother's hassling me. And I'm cutting some vegetables or something. I was making omelets, if I remember correctly. And I was going like this. And he's making fun of me and not helping out. And he's really getting under my skin. So I turn around with my knife. And I turn around and I throw it at him like that. You know, I'm probably 10 years old or so. And I still remember this chef's knife going like this through the go shoo. Right at him. I mean, it was like a perfect throw. And his eyes got huge. And it was like slow motion. And they say, you know, when you're in a crisis, your mind speeds up and everything looks like slow motion. That's exactly what it was like. And I see him go like he was in the Matrix. And it goes right by him like that. And it hits the window. And goes, splash, glass everywhere. Huge noise. And he looks at the window, and I'm looking at the window, and he looks at me, and I'm shaking, you know. I think, man, I almost killed my brother. And he goes, you almost killed me. You tried to kill me. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, and I'm fumbling for words. I'm really terrified. And they're like, what happened? And, oh, it's crazy. And he goes, and Dad's going to kill you. And I almost got killed that day. I think I was put on, detention or whatever the rest of my life that day. And then there was a mercy later. Because you can't explain the broken window. While I was chopping the vegetables so fast, the knife just flew out of my hand. That doesn't sell. They're all saying, he tried to kill his bigger brother. Dad, you can't believe it. So we do stupid things that humiliate ourselves. And we pay a price. That's the point. Number 6, we doom our potential to be successful in the future. In other words, we destroy our ability to have a successful future. People who can't control their anger end up destroying their future. They always do. They end up in prison. They end up fired. They end up divorced. This does not allow for a healthy future. It dooms it. It dooms your future if you will not grow up and get a handle on your immature emotions. Proverbs 29:20. There is more hope for a what? Fool. Than for a man of quick temper. Even a fool can get by. He can fake it by saying nothing. But a guy with a quick temper, he's going to get found out. And there's really no hope. There's no future for the person that doesn't deal seriously with this problem in their life. And I don't want you to have a hopeless future. If you're struggling with this, deal with it. God will give you the strength to overcome it. And we're going to talk about how to do that. But take it seriously. Get it under control. Stop being a big, stupid baby. Or acting like a big, stupid baby, right? Once we get a reputation for being a person with uncontrolled anger, we'll be avoided both socially and in our place of work because nobody likes bearing the brunt of other people's uncontrolled rage. That's just the reality. They don't want to be around it. And eventually, you wear out your welcome. You just wear it out. You just worn it thin and now just keep your distance. And there's a number of people from my past that I literally avoid. I won't even meet with them. If they really press me to meet, I will meet them in a public place because I don't like to see their anger and their rage come out. And it's the only way to avoid it. Because generally in a public place, I can say, you know, I need to go to the bathroom and never return. And I have done that. You just got to deal with stuff, you know? All right. What's the solution then to uncontrolled anger? Number one, there's 3 things. Control it by ignoring petty offenses. Some things are just petty and better left alone and just move on. That shows maturity. And Proverbs 19:11 says, if you are sensible, you will control your temper. When someone wrongs you, it is a great virtue to what? Ignore it. And I mean, this happened to me, I think, last Thursday or Friday. I was coming back from my ride with the guides, and there was another couple guys with me, and I'm leading this pack, and we're coming forward into the Huntington Beach, and this woman cuts me off. She doesn't look in her mirror or anything, makes a right turn, and once again, I get hit by a car. But I've become good at bouncing off and staying alive. And I didn't go down this time, and I ended up going into a parking lot and getting away from it, and the other two guys were about to kill this woman. They were so angry. And I said, hey, guys, settle it down. Easy. It doesn't really matter. We're fine. It's no harm, no foul. Let's keep moving on. And so I was able to talk them down and just keep going. And as a result, there was no outburst. There was no death. You're not reading about anything in the paper of three cyclists murdered a woman, right? Why? Because we just ignore it. And within 5 minutes, we had forgotten it and got back to enjoying our ride down to Corona Del Mar. It was that simple. But you sometimes just need to ignore it and move on. Now, and I was excited, too, because I'm thinking, you know, I have to give a message on anger, and this is going to be a good example, and I actually get to be a hero once. I got so many humiliating stories, this is a good one I can share. So, there you go. Number two, control it by listening more and talking less. See, when you're angry, you got a lot you want to say, and that's going to get you in big trouble fast. So you're going to reverse that, and you're going to listen more. Look what God's Word says in James chapter 1. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. If you want to overcome these outbursts, just remember, I'm not saying anything. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to try to talk this thing through by listening to other people and their side of the story. Many times frustrating problems work themselves out when good questions are asked and answers are listened to how? Patiently. Just patiently listen and probe and keep talking. And you'll usually find that your cause of frustration wasn't intentional. And slowly as you listen and the other person talks, the frustration level comes down and the anger slowly subsides and you have a reasonable conversation and you look like a sane person instead of a crazy person. Right? It even works with children. That's what you have to do. It even works with children if you just kind of let them talk it out. Now, if that doesn't work, I recommend you get up and wash the car. Because if you try to reason with an unreasonable child at that moment, you will go crazy and then words will fly. Number three, control it by understanding your feelings and the situation before you react. Understand your feelings and the situation you're in before you react. Train yourself to do this. This is about growing up, isn't it? Isn't that what we're talking about, growing more mature? Mature people aren't just going to react. They're going to stop. They're going to think. They're going to evaluate the situation and evaluate their reaction and make an intelligent decision about how they're going to react. That's called growing up. That's called being mature, right? And Proverbs 14:29 says, he who is slow to anger has great what? Understanding. But he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Just proves what a fool he is. Just proves a fool. Now, here's questions to ask yourself. These will help you. Are these in your notes, by the way? All right, great. Let's go over them. Number one, why am I upset about this? Why am I upset? Why does this make me mad? Now, sometimes, if you're really wise, that question may take a couple of days to answer. You understand that? You really have to think about it. Number two, am I really upset about this, or is there something else really bothering me? I have to sort through this and keep sorting it out and sorting it out and sorting it out. The good news is if you don't react in anger and you take that energy that anger gives you, which is the good part of anger, it gives you energy, and focus it on the problem, you'll find that you'll slowly be peeling away the layers until you get to the kernel. And when you get to the kernel, you know what happens? Relief. The stress is off your shoulders. The burden's off your back. You feel so much more peaceful and joyful and happy and enthusiastic again. It's because you got to the real issue. And now you can intelligently address it with a calm spirit, good wisdom, a gentle heart, and it will be a much greater chance of it being resolved in a positive way if you do it that way. So settle it down, Think about what the issue is and ask, am I really upset about this? Or is this issue a symptom of another issue that's going on? I mean, I can give you an insight to my weakness. And that is, if I'm in a restaurant and there's a crying baby, the mom sits there thinking we enjoy that. The mother has not realized that people pay good money to leave that at home so that they can have a meal undisturbed by that. And so that gets on my nerves. I don't know about you. You might enjoy crying babies in restaurants when you're trying to have a quiet evening with your wife or husband. That just kind of grates on me. And so I'll find that if I'm in a conversation and the baby's going rah, 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 the whole time, if something is said in the conversation, it might set me off and I might be tempted to react in anger, but it's not really the issue. It wasn't what was said in the conversation. It's that baby back there going rah, 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 rah. And the mother who hasn't figured out that's not pleasant. And that's people leave home to get away from that. There's a reason they have restaurants. So you can leave the children at home and do that, and you can get away from it for a while. And so the answer is not get up and have me talk to the mother and give her some instruction on etiquette and public manners, because that won't go well. It's, Linda, I think we're done. Let's call the waiter over. Even if he hasn't served the food, we'll be glad to pay the bill and just leave, because this is unpleasant. I don't want to be here. I'm glad to just pay the money and get out, because I don't want to do something stupid and then read about myself in the paper the next day. It's better just get out. The crying baby thing, very painful, all right? But it's a symptom of something else. Now, what desire is this situation or person blocking or frustrating? As you're going through the layers of where you're really angry, what is the desire that this situation or this person is blocking or frustrating? Because that's what creates anger. That's what creates the fly-off-the-handle type anger. A situation or a person is blocking me from fulfilling a desire that I want. Go back to the baby in the aisle in the grocery store having a tantrum. You're blocking them from getting their, you know, Chips Ahoy cookies. So they're throwing this big deal trying to get the block removed. Right? It's the same thing with an adult. Same thing with you and I. So what is that desire? And then when you pinpoint that desire, is this a legitimate desire? Or is it selfish ambition and or pride? When you get to this question, you will have solved 80 to 90% of the real issue. And I would say 60 to 70% of the time, it's selfish ambition or pride. It is not a legitimate desire. It's just something you want to make you a little more comfortable. It's basically selfish. 60 to 70%, not more than that. 6 or 7 out of 10 times, that's the real issue. And so you need to back off and realize you're not in the righteous position. You're actually in the unrighteous position in this. And you need to, you know, work this out with God in prayer. Next one. How can I react to this in a most loving and kind way? Once you've isolated it, figured out what's going on, what is the most loving and kind way that I can approach this situation or this person to resolve it? And I guarantee it won't be yelling, throwing knives, things like that, right? It's going to be maintaining a very cool head and very objectively talking about it in a kind and gentle way. And then, how will my reaction hurt those around me? What will be the impact of what's going on when I address this? How will it hurt them? How will it affect them? Because if your desire is illegitimate, you're not even going to talk to them, you realize you need to work that out with God. But if it is legitimate, the news to the person that's caused the hurt and the frustration is going to be hurtful to them. Because you're really saying, you're the cause of it. You hurt my feelings this way. And if they care at all, it's going to hurt them. And you have to, best you can, try to measure that so that you present that message in a way that's gentle and kind. In a way that is not condemning, and it's not putting them down. In a way that gives them hope, and gives them encouragement to make adjustments that will make the relationship move forward more smoothly. That's your goal, isn't it? Yes. We have a few saying yes, the rest saying, I want punishment. No, I'm not going to admit that. I want punishment. Tell me to pay. No, it's the whole goal is to get them to say, hey, I've got a solution here. We can do this together. Let's fix this together and get on the right track. We don't have to have any angry words going on. That's the whole goal. And then finally, will my reaction honor God above all things? If I do what I'm about to do, will God be honored? Let me put it in a different context. Will the non-Christian friend you have that you're praying for and trying to lead to faith in Christ, if they actually saw how you handled this, they would say, wow, praise the Lord. You know, I think I want to become a Christian. That is amazing. Or would they say, you know, your Jesus thing doesn't work. Look at you. You're a mess. If he can't help you, how could he help me? I'm done. That's really the acid test. How would your non-Christian friend react if you, you know, did what you're thinking of doing? So these are questions to ask yourself to help you sort it all out. Like I said, there's a third kind of anger, and we're not going to get to it today. And, you know, I could just summarize, you know, let me just make it simple. It is so rare, you're never going to come across it. End of sermon. All good. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you care deeply about us and that you have given us a relationship with you through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful, Father, that you have sent him to set us free from our sin and its consequences and the damage it does in our lives and emotions and behaviors. And that as we talk about this issue of anger and we reflect upon it today, God, I pray your Holy Spirit would point out to each of us those changes you want us to make. And I ask, God, that you would do it with your Spirit in a gentle and tender way so that we wouldn't push back, but that we would hear your voice clearly. We would take it into our heart, and we would allow you to begin to make some changes inside of us. Lord, we know we need to learn new behaviors and how we handle the anger that kind of flashes up in our lives. But those changes in behavior are going to take time. In the meantime, we need a change of heart. And Lord, that's your business. You're the only one who can change our heart. And so today, Lord, we pray that you would give us a change of heart as we see into ourselves this propensity to act in immature ways and to strike out and to lash out when we're angry instead of being tender-hearted and gentle. Father, we all stand condemned and guilty of it on some level, and it breaks our heart when we think about it. And because we don't want to be people who live that way, and we know that it's really a bad advertisement for the gospel. And our heart is that we would help our friends find Christ and grow and help the loved ones we have in our life feel secure in our love and to know that they're valued and respected deeply. And so, Father, I pray you begin to work change in each of our hearts and that we would be open, even now, to your Spirit pointing out those changes. And then, Father, give us the strength to act on them, to make the effort to grow up in this part of our life. And then, Lord, have mercy on us. We're sinners. We need your mercy and grace. We're not going to get this right the first time. We're going to stumble and fall and trip. But our heart is God. Our desire is that changes would be made and that you would be honored because of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Kent Sparks, founding and senior pastor of Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities Church has been helping people find Christ and grow since 1985. This is a listener-supported podcast. For information on supporting this ministry, or for more information on Pastor Kent Sparks and Beach Cities Church, log on to beachcitiesoneword.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.